Good morning. I preached from Matthew 2:1-12, the first Sunday in January, and I thought I would give you the headlines of my sermon. First of all, we considered the issue, the matter of who the wise men were, where they came from, and we decided that they had come a long way. They were obviously very thoughtful. They may have come from as far away as Arabia. And how did they follow the star? And again, we thought a little bit about that one. And there are a number of theories as to how, which star it was and how they followed it. But more importantly, I asked the question, what motivated them? And we decided that they must have had a message from God, and they trusted God. They must have done, because they travelled a long way over probably a number of weeks. So they must have had a very strong word from God, and they had very real faith. And then we looked at this issue of faith. What is faith? And we realised that in our century, people need proof. They are not content just to have faith. And we traced the development of scientific thinking back to the Enlightenment of the 18th century, and then again moved on to the 19th century, to the 1859, to Charles Darwin's Origin of Species, and into the 20th century, when people were wanting to have proof, scientific proof, of what they believe. And we understand that, but we also understand that faith, trusting somebody, is an important part of society. And I use the humorous illustration of a train. I was going from Bournemouth to York. I didn't know the stations. I didn't know how the train was operated. Did I stop the train and talk to the driver and ask 101 questions? Of course not. I simply put my trust in the driver and I arrived at home safely. And so we do today. Faith is trusting from experience. And we move from the humorous illustration of the train to faith in God. Why do we trust God? Because of what he's done in the past and is doing today. And it's on that basis that we do, in 2015, put our faith in God and trust him for the future. And I spent some time talking about that. And then we looked at the wise men. And we decided that they weren't teenagers, far from it. They were probably middle-aged, maybe even approaching third age. And then I broadened my spectrum and looked at the nativity story, and indeed there are a number of older people involved. Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad, who was, as you may remember, too old to have a child. And we looked again in Matthew, or was it Luke, to Anna and Simeon, both old people, very old, for whom they played a very, very important part in the Nativity story. And so I suggested that here we at All Saints, many of us are in the third age, but wow, what a lot we've got to offer. We shouldn't regard ourselves, and you shouldn't see us as past it, but we have tremendous contribution. We have built up, strengthened our faith over the years, as we have seen God at work. And I reminded the church of the importance and the value of older people. And then we looked at this word epiphany. As a Baptist, I had to check it out, and I found that it meant a moment of sudden revelation. And what was revelation? Revelation was that God's good news is for all the people. Yes, Matthew was a Jew. Matthew's Gospel is written for a Jewish readership. But Jesus came for the world. And in the early church, you remember the story of how Peter, having had a rest at lunchtime, was told by the angel to come and eat some pork chops. And this he found very difficult because, as you know, pork is forbidden for Jews. But God had told him, what I have approved, don't you feel unclean. Peter and then Paul had to learn the important message that the gospel is not just for the Jew, but for the whole world. And then I looked at that today, and yes, of course we understand that the gospel is for the whole world. And that's why the whole missionary movement of the 19th and 20th centuries was established. But I then looked again at, that's one inch. We are talking about reaching to the community. And I thought about incidents that occurred to us. We had gone out on New Year's Eve, just before midnight, to the crowds down in Swanage, and I saw lots of teenagers enjoying themselves. And I thought, the gospel's for you, kids, but how do we communicate that? And I thought of organizations like the Frontier Youth Trust, which deals with kids who have been expelled from school, who've left home, and who are, in society's understanding, rebels and a waste. But the message is for them too. And so I asked a difficult question, 2015, how do we share the gospel with those for whom the church, the building, the institution, the way we do things is foreign? And I concluded with the situation that we've faced. Our home group had gone to the Warren Oak to sing carols. We were invited, and they were very hospitable, and we had mulled wine and mince pies, and we sang every carol that was in the sheet, and they obviously appreciated it. But I came back to my home group and said, should I have prayed? Should I have given them thought for the day? Should I invited them to Emmanuel to join the corner? And my home group were quite vociferous and said, no, David, you were not there to sell the church, to get bums on seats, but rather to just share your faith. And I asked the difficult question, and it is a difficult question, how do we share our faith? Do we want bums on seats of All Saints? Or do we want to find ways in which we as a church can reach out and meet kids, folks, families, older people who are not familiar with the church's pattern? How do we reach them with the gospel? So there are the headlines. If you'd like to know more, do contact me. My phone number is 01929 426 628. God bless you.